Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support
the redefining
the Constitution.
A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my
smoke
decision.
Could be seen
it's not
blocks
no
away.
Baby.
And protesters hurled trash cans and
dive bombs.
We're back.
Hey, guys.
Welcome back to Bob and Weave. I am Bob Rupp, the Bob.
I am Zach Weaver, the Weave.
Thank you guys for putting up with our summer hiatus. Schedules just didn't really work out for much Bob and Weaving.
Yeah, it was tough. The summer was tough. A lot of stuff going on with the kids, but they're back in school. My kids are. Your kids aren't yet, but yes. Mine are.
So we our state has always had a law that said that kids can't go back to school before Labor Day. But they got a waiver this mm-hmm. year, so they were allowed to, but not everybody did. So Zach's kids went go to school too. That was ending in a pretty horrible preposition. They're back, and my kids go back next week.
Mm-hmm.
But that means Zach gets to get here at 8 a.m. instead of 11 a.m. now.
Yep, I've been here since 8:30, doing good.
And yeah, we've already recorded our Friday follow up for the Truth and Justice podcast, and now we are working on Bob and Weave. So we should have regular episodes for you guys again now.
Yes, and I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And to start things off, today's episode, we kind of were wrestling with a few things, and I think what we landed on is today's episode will be titled "Fuck Politics."
I'm okay with that. I endorse that.
And so we're just going to talk a little bit about the, we're going to try to, some of it's serious, but try to keep it a little lighthearted, but talk about where, what the world is kind of looking like right now as we approach. We're
dog shit.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like dog shit.
Dude, social media, let's start with there.
Yeah.
Social media.
It's rough.
What is social media like for you?
It's so disappointing. It's so, so disappointing. Everybody's got, oh, let me stop before I'm going to get upset. Too many people out there are putting their opinions out there that are so one-sided and not hearing any bit of the other side. And on top right. of that, your opinion doesn't matter. Like whatever you big diatribe you put on Facebook, no one's going to change their mind because they read it.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I wouldn't go so far as to say people's opinions don't matter, but exactly what you just said is something I've been saying for years. No one has ever read a Facebook post or a Facebook meme and change their opinion on something.
Yeah.
And it's not even so much like people putting their opinions of things out there. I don't even mind so much that like you said, it's our very first episode. We talked about this,
mm-hmm.
A year or however long ago it was when we started the show where you lose me when you can only see one side of it.
Yeah.
You know, when the same person that is jumping all over Joe Biden because of the sexual assault claims against him
mm-hmm.
are the same people that were pissed off when the same thing was happening to Brett Kavanaugh and vice versa. You know, it's the hypocrisy just becomes just so, so obvious and no one can see it. But even with that, what I'm tired of is people's all of a sudden, no one is willing to accept that someone can have their own opinion. So if someone was posting, my opinion is Joe Biden is the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the best candidate because he's going to do this, 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 and this. And even if I disagree with that, okay, that's fine. That's their opinion. But nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
What they're doing is saying, it's like Facebook is one big ad hominem attack, which is something I had to look up what that phrase meant.
I don't know what that means.
During season 6 of the podcast, when people told me I was doing an ad hominem attack.
I don't even know what that means.
It's like where you, it's basically like when you're like shift. So if you and I are arguing about a point,
mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just give you an example. What happened, I see happening on social media all the time, is people put up some meme or some post about how, fuck Trump, I hate Trump, and Trump's a piece of shit because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes in and addresses that point. It happened to me with someone who I'm very close to recently. Comes in and then tries to engage in a conversation about that point. So let me give you the example that I was dealing with.
Okay.
So someone who I love dearly put up a meme of, and this person is obviously an I hate Trump and diehard Democrat, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Trump, so it's all fine. I don't care. I don't like Biden either, to be honest with you. But it wasn't that, but it was, they put up this meme that said something to the extent of, whenever Donald Trump is bragging about not taking his $400,000 a year salary, keep in mind that he's cost the taxpayers, I don't know how many, they put like $140 million to go golfing.
Okay.
And it was, and just what struck me, and this is, and the reason I even engage, because I don't engage at all. Mm-hmm. Anybody that, some people that are on here are probably friends of me on social media. I don't post anymore. It's just, it's not the happy place it used to be. So I just stay off. I don't even read much about it. I happened to be scrolling through, saw this. And it was somebody that I'd love and respect. So I was like, I just said, are we seriously pretending that Obama didn't also golf
mm-hmm.
the whole time? Because this person was a big Obama supporter. And I'm like, and my point is not whether golfing is good or bad, but when you're doing this, it makes me really want to have nothing to do with whatever it is that you're supporting.
Yeah, you're just pushing me further and further away.
Because like that's ridiculous. So then she comments back with a screenshot from some, apparently there's a website called like Golf Tracker or something like that that tracks how much presidents golf.
Oh, okay.
And
seems fun.
And they're like, well, actually, Obama golfed 333 rounds of golf during his 8 years as president. Which, by the way, I'm a golfer and I don't think I've golfed 300 times in my life.
I don't think I have either.
But she's like, he's golfed 333 times over 8 years. And Trump has already golfed 273 rounds in 3.5 years. So he's on pace to golf way more than Obama did. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's not my point.
Mm-hmm.
Like where the point is, when you say you don't have a problem with person in this other political campaign or party doing something, but when someone else does the exact same thing, all of a sudden it's a big deal, then I don't really, really have any respect for whatever you're going to say next. Because you've proven to me that you are not, you're not unbiased, you're not objective. You're a homer, they would say.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
I didn't say it quite like that, but I was like, that's not my point. The point is, why are you, like, tell me what you like about Biden. Why are you talking, posting about Trump golfing when you didn't give a shit when Obama was golfing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she puts this thing up and she's like, well, but you need to look at this. Look at that. 273 rounds of golf in only 3.5 years. And so I do look at it. The screenshots he sent me,
mm-hmm.
and it says 273 trips to Mar-a-Lago, which is his vacation home, which every president has, you know, Camp David, they all have a place where they go on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
you know, or when they're off work. It happened to be Trump owns a place, and there happens to be a golf course on it that he owns. And it says underneath it in the fine print, it's been documented that he actually golfed 133 times during these trips. And so I just said, you know that it says that he only golfed 133 rounds. No, it's 273. Read the post. I said, I did. You read the post. It says 133. So, and this is where the ad hominem attack comes in. It goes from that, and it wasn't necessarily an attack on me, from that, well, I wouldn't mind if he golfed, if he did something while he was in office. I just can't believe, I hope that everybody sees what a racist, homophobic, da-da-da-da-da, and anybody that, and then other people are jumping in, and it's like, anybody that has, that votes for Trump is an ignorant, racist, homophobe. That is an ad hominem attack.
Okay.
So instead of discussing the topic,
mm-hmm.
once they realize their logic was flawed, then it goes into some other sidebar.
And, you know, and the biggest problem with like that on social media is people have created like an echo chamber for themselves.
Right.
Where all their friends are all their, you know, they have these like-minded thoughts and they just pile on each other continuously. Sure. Both sides. It doesn't matter what side.
That's what this person has done. They've deleted and blocked friends they post about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so you're only left with the people that either don't talk or agree with you. And this person is a, you know, she's a Democrat and a Biden supporter. And the same thing going on from people I know who are Republican Trump supporters. In this particular round of election, I will say, though, that from someone in the middle watching this, the left is more vicious right now than I have ever seen them.
It's pretty rough.
It's bad. And what I told her when I was talking, I said, haven't you all learned your lesson from 2016?
And what do you mean by that?
So in 2016, the world was shocked when Hillary lost the election because the polls showed that Trump was going to win. Well, it was the same thing that was happening now on a smaller scale, where they're vicious and they are, you're if you like, and again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen on the other side. It does. It just, this round of election seems even worse on the, much worse on the left. But you tell people if you vote for Trump, you're a racist. Mm-hmm. You tell people if you vote for Trump, you're a misogynist. And you're a Nazi and you're an idiot. So what happens is, number one, you've just, anybody that wasn't, because you've got the Democrats and the Republican and then the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So the Republicans were never coming over here anyway, and the Democrats were never leaving there. But all these people in the middle, like me and you, are distancing themselves from that. Because we don't feel as strongly about those things as you do. I think they both have some serious issues.
Oh, I agree. It's horrific.
Yeah.
And it's choosing between the lesser of two evils. Right. I literally saw somebody, a pro-Biden post from a friend on Facebook today, as we were sitting here, that was discussing how bad Trump was, and the same thing you said, you're a racist, you're a homophobe.
Right.
And then said, I know Biden's a bad guy too, but he's not as bad as Trump.
Right.
That's your pro Biden choice, you know what I mean? Like that's ridiculous.
Very, very good friend of mine posted, you need to hold your nose. Her quote was, you need to hold your nose and go to the polls and vote for Biden.
What a mess.
To get Trump out of there.
Yeah.
You know, but that just shows like even a lot of people on that side of the aisle realize Biden's not a good candidate.
You know, a lot of the stuff that I saw, as soon as he announced that his running mate, Kamala Harris, as soon as he announced her, people were all over voting for him because they're basically like, look, he's going to die when he's in office she's going to take over. And that was their selling point.
Right.
Which is another like absolutely ridiculous thing.
Which Kamala, I would be looking at this thing very differently if Kamala Harris was the actual candidate.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it in a minute. I've got her platform pulled up here because we never got a chance to talk to her because she got dropped out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, had to be an awkward conversation after she basically called him a racist during the debates.
Yeah, she sure did, didn't she?
Yeah. When you talk about the busing and all that stuff. But anyway, as far as learning their lesson, so what happened was, you know, the people keep talking about the silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be anybody that is just like objective in the middle. Like, I just really want to pick apart like what most people should be doing is how are the policies that each of these two candidates, how will they affect my life?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I, and not just my life, but, you know, the world and however they're affecting your perspective of things. Like, that's how I pick a candidate, you know? And so the people that are doing that, like, well, first of all, they're probably not the people that are likely to post about it on social media anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But even if they were, like, they're not going to talk about it. I guarantee you, there's nobody other than the far right wing, you know, extreme wearing MAGA hat wearing, you know, Trump go, Trump go people that are out there that are just like that, that are also not my cup of tea at all any more than the other side's my cup of tea. But other than that, nobody's posting anything about Trump because they know if you say anything about being pro-Trump, then you're going to be called a racist, bigot, homophobe. So they don't.
And it's just easier to shut your face.
Even pollsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just watching, listening to MSNBC this morning, and they were talking about the concern they have right now that the polls are completely wrong. And they even said that what they're concerned about is people aren't willing to admit they're going to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the pollsters. So we're sitting right now, which, you know, as you guys hope you remember, we record these a week in advance. It's almost a dead heat now.
Yeah.
It went from, you know, Biden didn't get any help out of the Democrat convention, and Trump got a big boost out of the Republican convention, And then after you heard this yesterday, then would it be Tuesday the 8th is when Biden says he's going to start coming out and campaigning.
Okay.
And it seems like what they've been saying is they were using all the riots and social distress that's happening throughout our country right now as ammunition against Trump,
mm-hmm.
saying thing like, this is Trump's America. This is what Trump's America looks like. And the polls show that it is completely backfiring on them because people are seeing that. I mean, in my personal opinion, people might like this. I don't think that's a result of Trump. And I also don't think it's a result of protesters.
Yeah.
As I've said many times before, I think these are the people that are burning down buildings, hurting people, shooting people are opportunists. Even the kid in the kid in Kenosha,
mm-hmm.
that was there with his AR-15, like, I don't know. I guess we should talk about that. I don't know how you feel about that, but my opinion, like, that was a situation he never should have been. Becky asked when we were watching the story about it last night.
Yeah.
So where the fuck is his mother?
Yeah, that's a tough. I stayed away from it. I tried to stay away from it because there's so much wrong with both sides of that. That kid should have never have been there.
Exactly.
First of all, he's illegally possessing that firearm. Now, everybody that knows me knows that I am very pro-gun.
Pro-gun. On that note, though, don't lose your thought, but his lawyer was being interviewed, I think it was on Fox,
mm-hmm.
and was saying, I don't know if this is true, but his lawyer was saying that at 17 years old, in the open carry state of Wisconsin, it was not illegal for him to be carrying the gun. It's illegal for him to buy it.
Problem with that is he's not from Wisconsin. He's from Illinois.
Right,
so even if that is true, he's still illegally possessing that firearm.
Well, but the gun laws like that, though, go state by state. Like I can carry a gun on my hip here,
mm-hmm.
but even though I'm from Michigan, when I drive through Chicago, I cannot do that.
Correct.
Because their laws say that. So I think mm-hmm. that the law about him, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, go ahead.
That already starts off in the wrong spot. You know? And then there's, each side of the media has portrayed this differently.
Mm-hmm.
One side is portraying that he's just out there shooting protesters.
Right.
The other side's showing that he was in self-defense.
Right.
I have no idea what to.
I think it's somewhere in between.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think it's somewhere in between.
And that's why I've learned from George Floyd and mm-hmm. from Jacob Blake to not weigh it too much on these things until all the facts are out. And they're still not all out there.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, we saw the videos, and you can see in the video, the last two guys he shoots, one of them is pointing a gun at him, and mm-hmm. the other one is hitting him in the head with a skateboard.
Yeah.
And while he's on the ground, sure looks like self-defense. But then I've heard that they were chasing him and attacking him because he had just killed a man.
Yeah. It's so hard to see. I don't know where it falls.
I did just hear, and I don't know if it's true, but what I heard was some autopsy or investigative reports came out and said the first person he killed that he claimed was self-defense,
mm-hmm.
that he was, you know, he's out there, of course, trying to treat people and, you know, medically treat protesters that are being hurt and things like that. And that somebody attacked him and he shot him. But from my understanding, and this could be wrong, but the autopsy came back and that man was shot in the back.
Mm.
So I still don't doubt there wasn't a skirmish of some kind. But then, like, where does all that own is, like, why? Again, where's his fucking mom?
Mm-hmm.
He's 17 years old, comes from a different state in there,
mm-hmm.
and decides he's going to go down to a riot zone with an AR-15 to help.
Yeah. Now, and I'm not trying to defend him, but the whole state thing too sounds way worse than it really is. You know, they say he came from another state to be there.
But that's just like me going to Indiana
here.
Yeah,
it's like 30 minutes from where he lives to this place.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't have been there, first of all. He shouldn't have been there. But it's not like he traveled hours to go there, do this.
They said that he knew somebody that owned three businesses there, and two of the businesses had been burned to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was trying to get people to come. This is what they're saying, that he's trying to get people to come help defend his last business to keep the rioters from burning his business to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he went. But it's a recipe for disaster, whatever the situation is. It's murder. He fucking shot and killed somebody.
No, absolutely.
He's, you know, three, you know, or two people died.
Two people and one injured,
right.
I believe.
But this is like, it's a situation that people have been like, he's a killer and he went there to kill. I don't think that's probably true. I think he's a 17-year-old kid
mm-hmm.
that's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Because he's 17. And maybe in his mind, he thought, I'm going to go, you know, be a big tough guy and go defend my friend's business.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even had visions of, oh, it's going to be like a war zone, like my video games or whatever. But then when shit hits the fan, a 17-year-old is not capable of making the kinds of decisions that need to be made when it hits the fan like that.
Yeah. The one thing I noticed, and this is something that maybe not a lot of people noticed, and it's just I pick up weird things like this, is the kid has obviously had firearms training.
Uh-huh.
If you watch the kid walk around, yeah, he has trigger discipline.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch, it's very specific that he has his finger outside the trigger guard,
right,
on the frame.
Gun pointed down.
On the gun.
Yep.
That's something that you don't just do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you should. That's good firearms handling.
Uh-huh.
But it takes training to do that.
Right.
So the kid is familiar with firearms. This isn't just a kid that picked one up and went.
Yeah. Well, and somebody gave him, and also, by the way, their lawyer said that he didn't, the lawyer said, and again, it's his lawyer, so who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But he said that the claim that he took that he brought the AR-15 from over state lines was false. He didn't explain where the gun came from, but he almost made it sound like it was the business owner that, or somebody that handed him the gun.
That still seems really weird to me.
Well, and to be clear, I don't think any 17-year-old should be walking around with any gun ever.
No, I agree.
The whole situation was bad.
Can we talk about this? This the beginning of this for a second?
Sure.
The Jacob Blake shooting.
Okay, yeah.
The guy shouldn't have been shot. I will 100% say this.
Right.
But there are so many things outside of this that are happening that are kind of upsetting.
You know, we're lied to by the media again.
Well, so this gentleman is a rapist. He raped a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
So there are NBA players protesting this. The NFL is protesting this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put his name on things. How do you feel if you're that 14-year-old girl that now your rapist is being glorified?
And that's where the problem is, because the protest and doing something about it should be against speaking out against the police shooting him.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be glorified. You know, and this was another situation where the media, the first stories I heard on all news channels was that this guy was a stand-up good guy,
mm-hmm,
who the police were called to some kind of altercation, and he was simply there trying to break up the altercation and then was walking to his car, and the police shot him in the back 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
They tell that story.
And that's the original story I heard as well.
The riots begin. Of course the riot. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. Then we find out, no, the police were called there because of him.
Mm-hmm.
That there was some kind of domestic going. Someone called 911 and said, Jacob Blake, he's here. He was not supposed to be here. He needs to leave. He won't leave. The police get there en route. They look up and find out he's got multiple warrants. You know, the fact that, you know, so I'm clear, the fact that he has a conviction doesn't mean it's okay to shoot him.
No, I don't believe he should have been shot.
Yeah. But he's got multiple warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so they show up to arrest him,
mm-hmm,
which is exactly what they're supposed to do. He resisted to the point where there's other videos that surface where he's fighting with the police. They have him down on the ground. At one point, they hit him with the taser, and he was unaffected by the taser. I don't know why.
Hmm.
But they hit him with a taser. And continued to fight, and then walked around the car. And now Jacob Blake has admitted that he was armed with a knife.
Okay.
Which changes, again, there's no circumstance where it's okay to shoot a man in the back 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1 time,
mm-hmm,
in the back. Your life is not in danger when you're shooting him in the back. He then goes around and is getting into the car. And you could see the police, or, you know, they're pulling on his shirt, trying to keep him out of the car. He looked to me as though he was reaching for something. So I don't know if, because they found the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some people have blown up the video where they've shown pictures of what looks like he's holding the knife while he's going to the car. But they found the knife on the floorboard. So I think he was going to grab the knife. Even if he had it in his hand, was grabbing it, there still doesn't justify the shooting. So I'm not saying it justifies the shooting. But that is a very, very different story.
Mm-hmm.
Than the innocent guy walking to his car and getting shot 7 times by the police.
Very different story.
Yeah. Even the George Floyd. I mean, we haven't talked about that since then. Even, you know, now that the body cam footage came out after all this erupted, that story is also different. Have you seen that stuff?
Mm-mm, I have not.
So it doesn't change, to make this very clear, it doesn't change the fact that it's still not okay to kneel on a man's neck, period.
Mm-hmm.
For a cop to do that, period, ever, full stop. That's not okay. And and he killed him. And that officer needs to be charged. But I said back then, I'm concerned with the murder charge. Unless the prosecutor makes it so that they can, the jury convict of a lesser charge, I don't think you can prove murder, because it, in order for it to be murder, there has to be intent to kill.
Mm-hmm.
That you knowingly and intentionally, is how it's worded, took someone's life. So they had to prove that that officer knowingly and intentionally, he kept his knee down there in order to kill him,
mm-hmm.
which I think I already thought was hard to prove. But then they show the body cam footage, you know, and it's the same story, right? He wasn't resisting. They just grabbed him and threw him on the ground. Well, they show that, no, he was resisting. He was fighting them. They actually had him in the car at one point. He was fighting, trying to get him in the car. He was fighting. And the thing that's going to probably cause the next set of riots, because I think it could very well lead to an acquittal unless they lower the charges, was George Floyd screaming, "I can't breathe," before they ever touched him.
Mm.
I mean, through this whole thing, he kept saying that.
Yeah.
And remember, it was interesting that, you know, the "I can't breathe" came up again,
mm-hmm.
because that was the whole thing. I don't remember. Was it the man in New York? Where did the "I can't breathe" come from?
I think that was at Baltimore or New York.
I don't remember which one. But anyway,
they tackled the guy to the ground, and it was the same
for selling loose cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the whole "I can't breathe" thing came up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it almost seems like he's like saying that because of that, or maybe he was already having trouble breathing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being, and again, get me wrong. I'm not defending or any of this. I'm just looking at this from a legal standpoint, where there's going to be problems
mm-hmm.
that are going to lead to riots, because a defense attorney is going to argue, why would he think that he was dying because he was saying, "I can't breathe," when he was saying, "I can't breathe" before we touched him? He was saying, "I can't breathe" when we were trying to put him in the car. He was saying, "I can't breathe" while he was fighting us.
Hmm.
He was saying, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And again, I don't want this to be taken as me defending anything, because I think that man needs to be in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops that were around him that watched it. So let me make that very clear. But that's my worry, is a defense attorney is going to say that. And all they have to do is then show any body cam footage or any other incident reports where he's put his knee on another person's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can say, well, he didn't have an intent to kill, because look, he's done it these times before and those people didn't die.
Yeah.
Even though it's wrong, that's the way he restrains people.
Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yeah. And so something needs to, I feel like the prosecutor got bullied into the murder charges.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
And again, like everybody wants to see that man rot in prison.
Mm-hmm. As he deserves.
But it's like, you got, if you overcharge, oftentimes it results in an acquittal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be very difficult. But I guess point being back to what we're saying is, again, we were told, now that one I won't blame the media on as much,
mm-hmm.
because it was actually the Minneapolis PD that withheld the fucking footage.
Yeah.
They wouldn't release the footage, which we all assumed was because there was something horrible on it.
Yeah.
And then they get it and it's the other way around. I mean, still horrible, but
this one was just spun crazy. And again, like you said, I mean, I'm not defending these police officers. There's no reason that guy should have been shot 7 times in the back.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
Or 1 time in the back.
Yeah. Period. There's no reason for it. But to go on and celebrate him the way they have, you know what I mean? That's right. The rough part.
He's a bad guy, and being a bad guy doesn't mean you're supposed to get shot.
Mm-hmm.
But he has, and it's not just one victim. I mean, there was the rape. I actually didn't know there was a rape. I knew there was sexual. It was called sexual assault.
Okay, right? Maybe I misspoke.
Well, no, I didn't. I mean, I just mean I didn't look into it any further mm-hmm. than that. I knew that he had been convicted of sexual assault. He had sexual assault warrants, things like that. So, mm-hmm.
And I could have very well misspoke, and somebody will call me out on it. But
right.
From everything I know, it was rape.
Yeah, and it very well could be. And whatever it is, his crimes have victims.
Mm-hmm.
And to hold him up as a hero, I don't think is the right way to go with it. At the same time, something needs to be done. Now, I didn't want to get into it. I was going to say, whatever the motivation of the killing was, I think in that instance, it was police officers that were scared and made bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were obviously trained enough for that, and they should end up in prison. But what I'm getting at is, I don't think that they shot, and I don't even know how many officers shot.
I don't know
if it
either.
Was two or whatever, but I don't think they were like, you know what, this is a black guy, so we're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the circumstances that were going on it's so hard to word this because I was going to say cause them to, but then that puts the, you know, the fault on someone else and it's their fault. But, and that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying, I think they reacted badly.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't have been in that position because they weren't capable of handling that situation.
No, I agree.
Properly.
I agree.
Obviously by the not only one, but seven shots. I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom shooting someone who doesn't have a gun
mm-hmm.
in the back seven times. It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And that's, I do agree that it has to be multiple officers because I can't imagine one person pulling the trigger seven times.
I think I heard two police officers shot, but I'm not sure about that. But that's, you know, I guess we ended up here from talking about what's happened with the polls with the with the election. But in any case, the Biden campaign and really the Democrat Party in general has been blaming Trump for all this.
Okay,
that's been their strategy.
Yeah,
you see it all over social media. This is what Trump's America looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've been blaming the coronavirus on him too, or the coronavirus right. response.
Right, and it's all. And it's so hard to have these conversations because I'm just trying to be objective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard right now because when people are saying things, and what's happening is they're putting you in, it's fucked up my mindset. Conversations like the one I was telling you about with the golfing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just like, let's be objective. Let's be honest and fair about this. But they're so far that way. In order to do that, you're showing them facts and things to correct them. And what it ends up looking like is, I'm defending Trump. And then now you're this Trump. I am not a Trump supporter at all.
Yeah.
Couldn't be further from one. But so your choices are, in order to be objective, you present opinions opposing theirs, which is for, you know, because if you think Donald Trump hasn't done anything good way in the White House, you're wrong. Just any of my Truth and Justice listeners,
mm-hmm.
he passed a massive criminal justice reform bill that Obama couldn't get through, Bush couldn't get through, Clinton couldn't get through. You know, nobody's done anything like this.
Yeah.
But he did. And if you can't say, okay, that was a good thing, but then I just don't have much respect for what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a difference between, yes, that was a good thing, but he also did this, I can accept. If it's, well, that's not, yeah, but that only happened because of this and this and only this and only that. And it's like, no, because if your guy was in office, you would be saying, look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. But anyway, it just puts you in this position where you're trying to kind of bring things back to even. But in order to do that, you sound like you're some Trump supporter. And then I've been called a racist, a homophobe, a misogynist, because I was saying something that wasn't terrible about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Which was only involved in the conversation, trying to bring things back to center. But with this rioting race stuff, well, they push. And I'm sitting, I will be very transparent about my thoughts. Like, I don't think this is Trump's fault. The people that are rioting, they're rioting in cities, number one, all of the ones, New York, Chicago, Portland, Kenosha, Minneapolis. These are all places that are run by Democrats
mm-hmm.
and have been for decades. So the leadership there, and then their approach to it is just let them be. And the result has been, and again, I'm not talking about protesters. I'm talking about the rioters and looters. And the result has been the innocent people of that community are having their homes burned, their businesses burned. They're being beaten. They're being shot and killed. The murder. I mean, Chicago is a war zone right now.
Mm-hmm.
My mom has to go to Chicago down by the Ronald McDonald House there in Chicago for a surgery, and she's scared to go because that's right where they had to shut the Dan Ryan Expressway down a few weeks ago. So many people are being shot and murdered and killed in those streets. But then in the meantime, Trump's approach to this has been, we will help you shut this down. We will send in National Guard, and then it's like, oh, he's a Nazi. It's like, no, he's just trying. I understand that you think people have a right to protest.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have a right to protest. I don't think people have the right to destroy life and property of other people. And I think they have rights too. And it's your obligation to protect everything. You can protest and still maintain law and order.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump has been trying to say, okay, well, I'll send in, you know, all you have to do is ask for it, and I will send in troops to help get this under control. And he's done it in some cities where they've allowed it. And they're like, no, fuck you. We don't want your help.
Yeah.
And so then it goes on and on and on. And what they've seen while they're like, we're pointing this all at Trump, this is all his fault, is the polls went the other way. I mean, Biden had a massive lead on Trump going into the Democratic National Convention.
So you know what has bothered me the most about almost all of this?
What's that?
And we are, I'm not putting us out of this because we're to blame. We've mentioned two names this entire podcast. We've mentioned Trump and Biden.
Right.
Little does anybody know, there is a third candidate running. And right. They won't let her give any time whatsoever.
Joe Jurgensen, right.
Joe Jurgensen. And we talked about this morning.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a presidential debate, she's probably not going to get chosen to be there.
Right. And I hope she does.
I hope she does,
and
too.
We'll talk, as we said, we're going to do an episode on
Jurgensen. I'd love to do a whole episode on her.
Soon.
But it's just, that's what's frustrating, is this is the narrative that you hear. People don't even know who she is. No. Don't even know that there is another person.
Well, that's 100% intentional,
mm-hmm.
because as we've said, we don't really have news anymore.
Yeah.
You have the Democratic news media and the Republican news media.
Mm-hmm.
And Jurgensen is so close to the middle. She's a libertarian, but she's so close to the middle that both sides are afraid that she's going to draw votes from their candidate, which, by the way, the media, the news shouldn't have a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start there. But they do. They won't mention her name.
No, you're exactly right.
And I watch the news for an hour every morning, and I flip between CNN, Fox, and MSNBC
mm-hmm.
to try to get a perspective on all the stories. I have not heard the name Joe Jurgensen mentioned once.
Yeah.
Not saying they never have on those channels, but in the hour I'm watching in the morning.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Not a word.
And I've mentioned her to multiple people.
First, they think she's a man. And they don't know who she is.
They don't know who she is.
Yep. I was the same way. Mm-hmm. I learned about her from you mm-hmm. here. But that's, it's all part of the spin. But I guess to harness things in here, and I do want to go through Kamala's.
Yeah, fuck politics.
Yeah,
thing
but long story short, and hopefully what we're saying is all we're trying to get across, or I'll speak for myself, trying to grow, is I just want people to be objective and respective of other people's opinions. If someone votes for Joe Biden, it doesn't mean you're every horrible thing that you think a Democrat is.
Mm-hmm.
If someone votes for Donald Trump, it doesn't mean they're every horrible thing that you think a Republican or Donald Trump is. You know, there are people, as an example, let me, an imaginary person. By the way, I know these people.
He has lots of imaginary friends.
Yeah. An imaginary person that's 75 years old, is retired,
mm-hmm.
and is living 100% off of their 401k. That is the money they have to last for the rest of their life. Over the last 3 years, they've seen that the balance of that 401k nearly double. You know, we've had average 16%, 19%, 12% increases over 3 years. They've got a nice nest egg. That's all they have. They might hate Donald Trump to the core.
Mm-hmm.
They might dislike the Republican Party to its core. But they also might look like, because I will say this, and this is not Joe Biden's fault, but my prediction, if Joe Biden wins the election, the next day the stock market is going to plummet into the teens because of the futures markets, because he's promoting, you know, this Green New Deal, higher taxes for the mm-hmm. for the upper class, tighter regulation, things that are economy crushers, and so that people are going to be a mass sell off in the stock market is going to plummet. And people say there's more to life than money. There is. I'm just saying, in this person, that, you know, they're not involved in social justice issues. They just want to be able to pay their bills. And they might look at that and say, you know what? As much as I don't like the guy, if Trump stays in, then I feel like my 401k, the money I have to live on for the rest of my life, is going to be stable, and I'll continue to have it. But if Biden gets in, there's a good chance that I'm going to lose it and I'm going to run out of money and not be able to live. That imaginary person may go to the polls begrudgingly and say, you know what? I'm voting for Trump. Now, I'm not saying any of this is going to happen, you know, and if you feel your view on economics is the other way around, whatever. I'm just saying, as an example, that person is not racist because they voted for Trump. They're not a misogynist because they voted for Trump. This imaginary person voted for Trump because they need to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that was the best way to do it. And there's examples of that both ways. So my point, all I would love to see happen is for people to be able to freely express their opinions. I sure would love to see it positive. I have yet to see a post on social media about the good things Biden's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
None. Not a single one. And my newsfeed is full of Democrats, friends, family, people I love. Nobody's posted, I'm voting for Joe Biden because he's going to do fill in the blank. It's all negative. So I would love to see more positive. But more than that, what I would love to see from both sides is for people to accept that not everyone thinks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone has the same opinions. And have less of this ad hominem attack and more civil discourse. So if you want to vote for the candidate that I don't like, I'm not going to call you names because of that.
Yeah.
That's okay. We can agree that we can be friends and disagree.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We can disagree and still like each other. You ever seen The Masked Singer? You ever seen the show The Masked Singer?
No.
So the whole idea is they perform, they sing, you vote who should win based on their performance.
Okay.
And along the way, they kind of give you clues as to who they are, but you have to guess who they are.
Uh-huh.
Completely masked.
Right.
Hidden. That's how the election should be. Just cover them up. Change your voices.
And just list, here's the agenda.
Here's my agenda.
I think you'd be able to figure it out, though, pretty easily in this case.
And I understand that's not necessarily plausible.
Pretty extreme opposites.
I understand that's not necessarily plausible. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? That's the problem, is if you could look at it blindfolded and understand what's going on and know, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
look at the positive on each side
and
pick that way. Don't just pick because you're bashing somebody or because you're so anti that person.
Yeah.
Or because your friend's so anti that person.
Dude, I'm telling you, I haven't seen, I want to clarify, because I said I haven't seen either side.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a single person make a post on any of the social media that I follow that says, I want to vote for Trump because he's going to do ...
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to vote for Biden because he's going to do ... All anyone is doing is just attacking the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen it, you know, during the Obama years and stuff. It was all these right wing people that were the horrible, vicious ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, and you might be in that crowd as far as your ideology, not necessarily the people I'm talking about. So don't get mad at me. But I tell you what, man, it's worse than I've ever seen it from the other side now.
Yeah.
But this side's still there too. So that's anyway. I'm rambling, but
guys, I'm an idiot. Anybody that knows me, I'm an idiot. We just need to love each other. It's ridiculous anymore. Like, hate.
Dude, people are losing friends, family.
Mm-hmm.
The one person that is somebody that I'm close with, I love and respect this person very much. I've watched her losing friends over this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've watched her make a post and a friend will come on and be like, well, actually this and that. And she's like, you know, boom, boom. And then we'll comment, you know, I've deleted and I've blocked and deleted that person. I don't need that kind of.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And these are lifelong friends. It's like over politics?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Like, this is going to be over, you know, 4 years from now, this is going to be happening again.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, and then again, and then again. It's happened many other times.
It's so disappointing.
Oh, but I do fear, you know, the not learning their lesson from 2016. I fear for a number of reasons that there's going to be a lot of people shocked. Like if I had to guess, if the election was today, my guess is that Trump would win in a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
The polls show they're very close with Biden with a slight edge. But I bet Trump would win so big right now that people will be dumbfounded.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Because so many people I talk to, it's all say the same. I mean, it's literally almost like they're about to say something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
People will look over their shoulders and be like, dude, I'm voting for Trump. I can't. You know, just, and they don't want anybody to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants anybody to know what they're doing. So if you really are a big Biden supporter and you're active on social media, my recommendation is you're never going to convince people that like Trump not to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is explain to them why they should vote for Joe Biden. One of those reasons is because he picked pretty decent running mate.
Yeah, can we get to something positive?
Yeah, that's
right. I'm pretty down right now.
I did, that spun into more direction than I thought it was going to.
I'm pretty down right now.
Kamala Harris, I wish I had more on her. So she was, you know, she was a DA. She was a prosecutor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yep. She was, if it says here, she was a former district attorney and state attorney general. She channeled her legal background during committee hearings in which she has grilled Trump administration officials, creating viral clips. You know, anyway. Yeah. So former prosecutor, which is interesting. She is, the only person of color from the Democrat field that made it to the ticket.
Yeah.
She is, what do they say? She's Jamaican and Indian.
That sounds right.
I think
that does sound right.
Asian Indian. Her, so I have here pulled up her Politico. They have each of the candidates showing what their views are. So the first one up for her is criminal justice. She believes that we should abolish the death penalty,
okay,
which I 100% agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Cash bail reform. She actually like her view here. So it seems like it's very polarized. You know, there's states that are just, I think California even just recently just eliminated all cash bail. She says it should be reformed or reduced, and it's tricky. Just the fact that she is that open minded about it, I like.
Okay,
because we want to say just eliminate it, and so the idea is behind it. There's statistically proven that you are far more likely to be convicted of a crime if you can't make bail.
Mm.
And it has to do with being able to, you know, work with your lawyers, work with your family, help build your case, be involved with it, keep living a normal life. You know, in some states, if you haven't bailed out, in some states you have to, actually, Wisconsin's one of them, you have to go into court wearing the striped jumpsuits like the Hamburglar, you know, during your trial.
Yeah.
And if you think that doesn't give you a disadvantage, you're wrong, as opposed to somebody who's out on bail. Can come in wearing a suit,
yeah,
with a fresh haircut, you know, and getting good sleep and things like that, and of course then that shifts to, so who doesn't get the advantages of going into trial? People without money,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so,
it, so it's more of a socioeconomic thing,
yeah, and it becomes a racial thing in a lot of the major metro areas, because, you know, there's people that just can't afford, they have nobody to help them,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so they're just stuck there waiting, and sometimes you're waiting, and also it's inhumane, you know, you got people like Khalif, gosh, I cannot believe I'm drawing a blank, I did a whole podcast episode on him, Khalif Browder,
that sounds right, but
young kid in New York that, mm-hmm, got arrested and sent to Rikers Island and then sat there for years. And it was, and he didn't do whatever he did. I don't remember the whole story. I should. It's like 3 or 4 years ago. I did a long thing with Robbie on it. But he sat in prison for years until eventually, I don't know if he just died in prison or if he committed suicide. I think it was suicide or suicide after he got out. I think finally, mm-hmm, like 3 years later, it was messed up. So, you know, the solution in some places has been eliminate cash bail. There's nothing but personal recognizance bail. So you come out and promise me you'll be back and you go, which sounds, you know, on paper may sound good, but then it's like, but there's bail for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people, there are, you know, Jeffrey Epstein types.
Yeah.
You know, they can go just get on a plane and
bye.
See you later. Can, mm-hmm, buy, you know. And so, you know, I think there's a time and place for it. And so I don't know what the solution is, but I think that it should be reformed. And Kamala, without, I don't know if it expands on it. Yang was that way too. Agreed also. Or was it? Anyway, I can't get into all this stuff, but anyway, Andrew Yang, Michael Bloomberg, and Kamala have called for providing states with incentive to reduce reliance on cash bail, with Yang proposing a federal pretrial service system instead, and Bloomberg calling for rewards for jurisdictions that adopt risk assessment tools. So, and that's the other thing, too. So if you have somebody who's just an absolute violent, no remorse criminal,
mm-hmm,
that, you know, rapes and murders someone and dead to rights, you know they did it, but you still got to wait for trial if they're not pleading out to, you know, or a serial killer and be like, nope, go on out.
Go on out.
You know, there's got to be a way to balance that.
Yeah.
I know
this is really in hindsight and it sucks to say, but the further we get along, the more I like Andrew Yang. And it sucks because, yeah, now there's not anything you can do about it.
Yeah, I like Yang. We never got to do an Amy Klobuchar episode, mm-hmm, but I really liked Amy Klobuchar. Booker, I didn't really like some of Booker's policies, but I like Booker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was kind of a bummer too. I was going to say there's only a couple of candidates that I just really couldn't stand, but
moving on.
Negativity. Cocaine sentencing disparities. Just scrap the disparity. We talked about, apparently, I think that has to do with, it had to do with people with cocaine. It was a racial thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. where sentences were much higher for African Americans than they were for white folks with cocaine charges. Mandatory minimum sentence reform. She says you should eliminate them. I agree with that. Private prisons, eliminate them. 100% agree with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be somebody trying to be for profit.
Yeah.
You know, look at what we have in Texas right now. We just had Deb Perringer die of COVID in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And our season 3 case from Truth and Justice, Jesse Eldridge just got diagnosed with COVID. They're cutting, I was told by the Innocence Project that they're treating COVID by giving people bleach water. I don't know if that meant it sounded like they were drinking Jesus it or Christ. Whatever. Yeah, but that's your problem when you have something that's for profit. And they've got these people in there.
That's one of the worst things I've ever heard.
That the world is kind of thrown away, right? Oh, they're mm-hmm. in prison. Who cares about them? And we just need to turn a profit. So we're not going to spend the kind of money we need to spend to make the place clean. Let them have air conditioning when it's 120 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, she agrees. This is interesting. For election security, I wonder if this is updated. Kamala Harris's view on election security is there should be mandatory paper ballots. Now, I guess that could be mail-in or state paper ballots with election. Oh, this is not what I was thinking. I was thinking that it had to do with the mail-in voting stuff. But it's just saying there's some states that were, I think they had just like almost like a computer where you could go up and
click it. Yeah.
So she
that's how ignorant I am. I'm like, there are paper ballots.
Right. There are in Michigan.
Oh, I'm just that stupid.
The whole mail-in ballot thing is a whole nother discussion that I don't want to have.
Yeah. I don't want to have it either.
Affordable housing subsidies for renters and homeowners, income inequality, expand tax benefits for the middle class and low income Americans, which all sounds good. Doesn't say anything about the, like one has similar view. Who else agreed with her? Doesn't say. Yeah. She doesn't say anything about overtaxing the wealthy. Now this is from her when she was still the presidential candidate. So I don't know how her platform has shifted now that she's with Biden, but to me, this is more important. This is what supposedly the way she really thinks before they start shifting things like any candidate does before an election. She says she thinks she should raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. She supports, as far as paid leave, she supports several months of broad paid leave. We've talked about her feelings and all that stuff now, so I'm just letting you know what she thinks. Reparations, she says she thinks that we need to study reparations. Not ready to make a decision there yet. Cost of college. Students shouldn't have to take on debt. Again, trying not going down a rabbit hole. Student debt, expand or fix existing debt relief programs. Teacher pay, she says that we should be boosting teacher pay. Never mind. I don't want to go.
Oh boy, guys.
Just sharing her thing. All right. Campaign finance, unlimited spending should not be allowed in politics. I agree. You know what I think? I will weigh in on this. I think
Hold on. Does anybody surprised that Bob's going to weigh in?
This is an easy one.
All right. I'm listening to you, though.
I don't think. I think one thing that could solve a whole lot of fucking problems is if it was illegal to donate money to a political candidate, period.
Okay.
Period. Across the board.
I like that.
You know, I guess a problem with that might be that if they can't afford to advertise, but you could do something with advertising too to make it fair. Well,
but you have the ultra elite that are out there spending.
Right.
What the Bloomberg?
And that's probably
spent a bunch of his money.
Yeah. That's the problem is you'd have somebody like Bloomberg come in and then plaster the world with ads. So there should be something with campaign, maybe perhaps limiting or making that more fair too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, first of all,
salary cap, like in sports.
I bet 3/4 of or more. Of our federal government wouldn't run for re-election if there weren't lobbyists. Now, none of them will admit they're all taking, except for that one time when Bernie and Biden got into it in the debates and they said, oh, talk about the 9 PACs you're a part of and this. And they're,
yeah.
And you could tell everybody's like, oh, shut the fuck up. We don't talk about that.
Whoa.
And I'm not saying it just happened to be 2 Democrats because the Republicans are just as bad. They're all getting fucking paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their $200,000 a year salary or whatever isn't dick. They're getting paid. By everybody, you know, let me just donate $1 million to you.
First rule of Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club.
Right. Or PACs.
Yeah.
Political action committees.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing.
But yeah, that's my campaign finance reform is just in government in general. You have to go be a representative or whatever you're going to be, and you get the salary that is agreed to be paid to you, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my rules. I think it would change things. For starters, a lot of people wouldn't even want to be there.
I kind of agree with you. It's still kind of rough, but I agree with you. I see where you're going.
The she thinks the Electoral College should be eliminated. I disagree. No thoughts.
I just want to keep on rolling.
Farm economy, strengthen enforcement, but stop short of trust busting. And I don't know much about farming. Farming and climate change endorsed urging Americans to eat less meat as a way to combat climate change.
Against it.
Not for it.
Not for that.
Not for it.
That's where you lose me.
She supports a ban on assault weapons.
Yeah. I won't go down that one.
I think that's another one, though. We'll have to talk later about if hopefully they have debates. Because I think some of these positions have changed now that even Biden's done the same thing. Now that they are officially the nominees,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden their platform has changed. Because just recently I read somewhere that Biden was now saying, or Kamala, one of them was saying, like, we're not saying we're going to ban assault rifles. Because I think they're just watching polls.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that. But anyway, she wants to ban them. Assault rifles.
Yeah. That's it. I don't have much.
Can you explain to me what is an assault rifle?
There's no such thing as an assault rifle.
I know.
There's no such thing as an assault rifle.
That's all you want
to... Assault.
I'm trying to get you a little bit in trouble, too, instead of just me.
Assault is an action.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know that or not. Assault is an action.
This could be an assault mouse.
Yes, exactly.
I could smack you in the face with this mouse. Uh-huh. It would be an assault mouse.
The thing, and even what they try to list as assault rifles, I'll play the game for a minute. Even what they try to list as assault rifles are modern sporting rifles. So that that firearm that you bought to go to Wyoming and hunt has a detachable magazine, does it not?
It does.
So right there, that's part of it.
Okay.
It is not a semi-automatic. It's a bolt gun.
Right.
But you can buy a version that's a semi-automatic.
Yeah.
Right there, that's an assault weapon.
So is that what makes it an assault? Is a detachable magazine that's, and semi-automatic?
That's two of the big parameters. I mean, there are obviously multiple other parameters that fall in there, but like you literally just turn that into an assault weapon.
I can't believe you try to turn my hunting rifle into an assault
weapon. That's the thing.
It has a three-round magazine, and it's a bolt action.
Mm-hmm.
And he just tried to make me into... an assault rifle carrying person.
Your 450 Bushmaster. They sell 450 Bushmaster ARs that people hunt with all the time.
Oh, I've seen them. Yeah.
That is an assault rifle by their...
Another hunting rifle.
Another hunting... That's what I'm saying. I mean, they've made something out of nothing. You know, they're calling these nasty black guns assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
They're modern sporting firearms is what they are.
Right.
They're no different than anything we've ever had.
Well, they're a little different than a musket ball.
They're okay. I apologize. I totally misspoke. But
sorry, I'm just trying to get you going.
No, I know. But I misspoke. I can take that one. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of differences that they're calling an assault rifle, even though it's something that everybody almost has.
Mm-hmm.
It's just these scary guns that look scary are what they're saying is an assault rifle.
Personally,
assault rifle's not a thing.
Personally, I don't care if they ban them because I have no use for one.
Here's the other thing.
It doesn't affect me.
and I don't know how many people know this. So AR-15.
Does not stand for assault rifle.
It does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite Rifle, which is the company that manufactured them to begin with. Okay. I'll stop now.
Sure. Anything else?
No.
Not assault rifles.
Nope. You can take my shovel away from me before I dig too big of a hole.
As far as gun control, background checks, he's in favor of universal background checks, which I am also.
I am too. And that's one of the things. Like, I'm very pro-gun. Everybody knows I'm very pro-gun. But I'm also, I have no problem with that. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Dude, there needs to be limitations.
Mm-hmm.
My stepson bought an AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
He's 19. And the day he doesn't live with us. But the day he told us that I just went down to the gun store at 19 years old and bought an AR-15. It's the day I just decided I am pro gun control.
It's weird how that changes, yeah. Right?
I mean, I am pro gun. I think that there needs to be more checks and balances in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm pro. Obviously, I have a bunch of guns. I'm a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't feel like a 19-year-old, anyone should be. Of course, I have the mindset as when I was a teacher, I used to tell my students at the college on the first day of class, if you're under 25 years old, you're wrong. Okay. If we're having an argument, I win if you're under 25, because your frontal cortex isn't developed enough yet to be able to make that kind of decisions. And I realize saying that we have 18-year-olds going to war all the time, but they can't buy cigarettes until they're 21. There's all kinds of issues that
is that a countrywide thing or is that a Michigan thing?
No, that was a federal thing.
Was it a federal thing?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was a joke. Did we talk about this before?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. The fact that I said, man, it sucks to be the 20-year-old smoker.
Yeah.
You've been legally smoking cigarettes for 2 years and now you can't, you got to get a homeless person at the gas station to go buy your cigarettes.
Ugh, poor guy.
When you're on leave from the military and you drive up in your car and have to have somebody else buy you cigarettes.
Poor guy. Or gal.
Yeah, guy or gal. But yeah, but it was just, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think that, you know, he would do it. But it was just like, you know, it never occurred to me that my stepson would go do that. And he did. I was like, what the hell? Like, he can't keep his laundry off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want any 19-year-old get old. There's like the 17-year-old I said, when Becky said, where's his mama?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't need to be having any gun. Assault rifle, not assault rifle. He doesn't need to have a weapon with a 30-round magazine that's semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he'd leave it in the seat of his car for all I know. Like, and I'm not talking about him specifically, any teenager.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that shouldn't be able to happen, in my opinion.
Wow, that was a tangent.
Right. Sorry. It's just like everything else. When people are voting, it all depends on what affects them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said, I just bought an AR-15, I'm like, well, now that affects me. And I do not think I want you to have that.
Oh, no.
It is currently, by the way, locked up at his dad's house.
Good.
It was immediately taken from him.
Jesus Christ.
Abortion. She says she wants few limits, if any. Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, she says we need to rethink the whole system. Amen. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Drug costs, important, importation and patent breaking. I don't know what that means, but let me tell you about drug costs. I just had to get, and by the way, I think that Trump just signed into law, but it doesn't take effect till next year, some kind of pharmaceutical bill. My dad told me about it in passing when I was bitching about the fact that my EpiPen with my insurance, because I have a bee sting allergy and I'm going out hunting in out west where there's no hospital. So I had to have this EpiPen just, you know, to carry with me. And it was $402 with insurance.
That's crazy.
For a life-saving thing that I have to have with me. If I get stung by a bee and can't get to a hospital within 30 minutes, I'll die.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to have these them with me.
That's crazy. And what's horrifying about that is you are financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you want to spend $400. No one wants to spend.
Oh yeah, I'm in a position where that hurt, but I could do it.
Yeah, the people that can't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's absurd.
It's unbelievable. I mean, as a matter of fact, the lady at the pharmacy called me,
mm-hmm.
and when I use PlushCare as one of our sponsors online. You know, I talked to a doctor online.
Mm-hmm.
She sent the script for me, and I went to go pick it up, and she's not ready. And she called me. She's like, with your insurance, this is $402. I'm like, are you fucking serious? She's like, do you still want to fill it? I'm like, I have to fill it.
Yeah.
And I thought about after I got off the phone, she asked me that, I'm sure, because there are many people that say no.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have $400.
No, absolutely.
And they can't do it. We'll look at another episode. We'll look and see what that was. But there was just, I was just, as I was leaving my dad's house the other day, I was bitching about the EpiPen thing. And he said, you know, they just signed, either it was Congress just passed and Trump signed, or it was going up to his desk, a new, some kind of pharmacy bill that's supposed to lower the cost of drugs.
I hope so.
That's supposed to take effect next year. Because guys like us that are self-employed,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have insurance. You probably have through Michelle's work.
I do.
Yeah, I know. I have my own insurance. So, you know, it's hard to find, especially after the Affordable Care Act, which is, I said, amen, when she said rethink it. Because I used to have really good insurance until that. And then now I pay a shitload of money for not very much insurance. But anyway, agree with her rethinking that. Medicare for all. She opposes Medicare for all, but would expand coverage. You know what? We never got to Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
So I never did, you know, we never got a chance to really look through her system, but I agree with her on a lot. I hope she still has some of these positions.
I hope so too.
I was going to, you think this is the time for jokes or no?
I don't know. I don't even know anymore.
I was going to call back, but then it would sound serious. But when you said that there's a lot of Democrats that are just hoping that Biden gets elected, So and then he's not, yeah. It's like, is he gonna? Because I don't mind Kamala. DACA, citizenship for dreamers, and executive actions to help them legalize in the meantime. I don't, we still have not discussed immigration, and I think I want to wait a little while before we do.
I don't have a problem waiting on that one.
Yeah. But I don't mind this. I don't mind this. I do not believe we should have open borders at all. But I think that our system to get legalized is fucked up.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, and that's basically what she's saying here, that there'd be a system in line, executive action to help them legalize. Oh, nope, there she got. I disagree with her there. illegal entry into the United States. She says we should repeal the statute. And that's the one, again, that's a whole nother, I just don't understand how any, I shouldn't say that because then I'm doing what I said. Everybody, people can believe that. I have been to many other countries in my life, and never have I been to another country where I was allowed to walk in without documentation.
Yeah.
Ever. So to say that there's no, to repeal the law that says it's illegal to come into our country. And I think there's more to it than that. I'm simplifying it because I don't think it's like, oh, just come on in. I think they want it to be handled some way other than criminally.
You know that I've been detained more times coming into the United States than getting into a different country?
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get detained for?
Just because I needed to be questioned. Because I look different probably. I don't know.
Tattooed. Look,
I've been stopped multiple, like, we've left the country and came back, and I've been stopped multiple times.
Going to Canada probably?
Yeah. Coming back.
Coming back from Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming back from Spain. I mean, just, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, seems like. She's one of the, Kamala is one of the ones that wants to make it not illegal to do that. And she does not support additional funding for the wall. Transportation boosts infrastructure spending, but no state funding mechanism.
She doesn't like Pink Floyd?
Right. The wall. Got it. She agrees. She says, legalize marijuana. I agree with that.
For it.
I think it's silly that it's still illegal federally when there, I think there's 11 or 13 states where it's legal. But that's interesting because Biden is not for legalizing marijuana, which could flip. I mean, he changes stuff over the years. Everybody has. But yeah, there was 20 candidates in the field that wanted to legalize marijuana. Biden was not one of them. Marijuana convictions, scrapping past pot convictions. We've talked about this many times before. But yeah, in our state in particular, people that are in jail for state marijuana crimes in a state where marijuana is legal.
Is absurd.
I mean, I get the point in saying that, yeah, but they still broke the law when they broke it. But it's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, let's rethink this. Maybe there's people sitting in prisons, which we're saying are overcrowded. For, you know, that's what they should have done with COVID, with all the overcrowding when they were looking at paroling. Like, they should have just went through and said, anybody with a marijuana charge can go home.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a good start. Defense spending, she wants to, it says the exact words here are slash the defense budget. Overseas deployments, bring the troops home. I don't know if that means all the troops. Obviously, there's a lot more to this other than just reading the headlines.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, there is so much more to that.
Yep. All of this stuff. She says that she would reverse the 2017 corporate tax cut. That's a whole finances. That's a whole rabbit hole. She would expand the earned income tax credit. And impose higher taxes on financial institutions, technology, rural broadband. Yeah, if she can get Comcast, any candidate that can get Comcast Xfinity Internet to my office, I will elect you, and I will help rig the election. Whatever it takes.
You're like the Russians now.
Well, yeah, whatever it takes. I've been trying to pay thousands to get them to run it out here, and they won't do it.
You know, the thing, I mean, hearing all this, she seems like a candidate that I could get behind. She really does.
Yeah, there's definitely some things I disagree with, but there's a lot that I do agree with. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that's the case with
everybody. Everybody, you're going to have stuff you disagree.
Yeah, but she's definitely, I agree with more than not with her compared to some of the other candidates. But that's why I land here as an independent, because I'm like, I mean, you've all seen and heard my reaction to this. It's like, yeah, hell yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, no, I don't agree with that one. But the problem is, at the end of the day, you got to pick a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a candidate out there that's going to agree with you 100% or disagree with you. You know, there's always going to be some issues back and forth. And the trick is, if everyone could just admit that, I think there would be less hostility.
I agree.
I think Thanksgiving wouldn't be so awkward this year
in
a lot of households.
It's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Besides the COVID, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So these are dated. This website was put together pre-COVID because under trade, it says China. And it just first thing was the whole COVID thing. But it says support the goal, change the approach, NAFTA and USMCA. She's against the USMCA. With tariffs, she says, don't use tariffs to pressure countries, which is something that Trump has done effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Some people question the ethics of doing so. But she says that we shouldn't do that. The TPP 2.0.
Oh yeah, that we have no idea what.
Well, she's a boy. she's opposed to joining the CPTPP or oppose TPP.
I wish I knew what any of those TPCPs meant.
And that's all that they have there. And that's probably about all that we should cover today.
Guys, I hope you guys are making it through COVID well. This quarantine has been crazy. The lockdown's been crazy. I hope wherever you guys are, your lockdown's coming to an end. You guys are safe.
By the time this airs, our movie theaters could be open.
I hope so.
The governor's supposed to speak today.
I hope so. I hope you guys are staying safe, having fun. I love you guys. Every one of you.
All of you. And I love most of you, but not you. Just kidding, because they all thought that I was pointing at them.
Yeah.
See what I did?
I see what you did there.
Thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Love you guys. See you next week. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.